Okay, hello everyone, and welcome to the NBL Pocket Podcast, episode number one. We're doing round eight, and I know it seems odd to start doing this series halfway through the season, but you know, I just thought no one else was really doing this. No one else was doing a round by round podcast of the NBL, so I thought I'd make it. I'm the type of fan who, I was a big fan of the NBL maybe a decade or so ago, and have fallen out of favor with the NBL. And then actually just recently I bumped into Steve Carfino on the street and we got to chatting, and I wanted to look into the NBL more and get back into it. And it was then that I realized that there wasn't really a podcast that's, you know, short and sharp and sweet that you can listen to. It goes for about half an hour. You can just listen to it on your commute just to get the idea of what's going on in the league, both the games round by round and also any major news. So that's what we're going to do. And we're going to start with... before we do that, actually, you know, I just want to say a few things about the NBL. You know, with the NBA, you know, I kind of was an NBL fan and then switched to the NBA, but... with the NBA and the way you sort of the journalism and the reporting covering the NBA, a lot of it is, you know, when there's a problem with a team, when a team's not performing well, the answer to how to get better is to make a trade or a signing or both. But sometimes it's a little bit more in depth than that, but more often than not, that's the way I was watching the NBA. I was very much coming at it like a video game. But you know, basketball's different, you know, and that's where the NBL's different. The NBL's not really about getting new players mid-season and trades. Obviously, it doesn't have trades. It's about the little things that actually improve a team, you know. So that's what this podcast is going to be looking at. It's going to be trying to work out, you know, what makes a team better. What can you do internally to improve a team, be it coaching, strategy, matchups, lineups. You know, things like that. So that's what this podcast is going to hope to discover about teams. The other reason I've kind of gone away from the NBA and back to the NBL is because, you know, the NBA schedule is just ridiculous. You know, every team plays 82 games. There's 30 teams. You know, there's so many games a night. It's really difficult to follow who's good, who's bad. And then, you know, what the NBA doesn't really like to say is the NBA's got a lot of dead holes in its schedule. You know, a lot of teams are not worth watching. You know, Cleveland, New York, Phoenix, you know, a whole bunch of teams. So when they play, you know, it's not so great. Whereas the NBL, it's a nice little product. There are however many teams, you know. 9 or 10 or whatever it is, and you know, each round they kind of play once or twice, and games go from Thursday night to Tuesday, and that's kind of your round, and you know, mostly over the weekend. So it's a nice little easy to follow, especially with a podcast like this and the NBL app, and also NBL Overtime with Corey Homicide Williams and Cam Luke and Santa Maria. So if you don't watch that program, or if you don't have the NBL app, definitely get it. And then the other thing I wanted to say about the NBL is I really hope that the NBL can take over college basketball. I don't really like college basketball. I don't think it's good to watch. I don't think the standard's very good. And, you know, you look at guys like, Terrence Ferguson obviously is the number one guy that comes out, an American guy who bypassed college, was committed to Arizona, I think, and then came out to Australia to play, played in Adelaide. I'm hoping we see more of that. And you had Terrence Ferguson, and now you have Luka Doncic, who I know didn't play in the NBL, but a guy who played internationally and has come to the NBA and played really well. College basketball is not a great sign of whether you're going to be a good player or not in the NBA or NBL. You know, you look at the college game, you're playing against kids who are 18, 19, 20. Whereas, you know, Luka Doncic was playing against men, and as was Terrence Ferguson when he played in the NBL with Adelaide. So I'm hoping there'll come a time when the NBL product's going to improve because you get a lot of those players coming over here. I just hope that NBA scouts start to see it that way. But Terrence Ferguson's a real pioneer. But let's not get daunted on that. That's the thing. So the way the podcast is going to break down is I'm going to do a segment called Round by Round. So I'll go by each game and just give you a brief synopsis of the score and the stats and who won and why, as best I understand it. Now, I don't watch every game each round. I'll be honest about that. This particular round, round 8, I watched one game. So I'll go through all the rounds. But then I'll also do a segment called The Eye Test, which is where I'll talk about games that I watched start to finish and what I thought. And I'll probably pick, the best two games of the round to do that. And then if there's any major news in the NBL, talk about that. Okay. So that, with that going on, let's do it. So in round 8, there were 7 games. Sydney played Perth, and I'll come back to that game because that was the game of the round. That was the one I watched. You had Cairns versus Illawarra. Brisbane played Melbourne. New Zealand Breakers played Sydney. Adelaide played Illawarra, and then Perth played Cairns, and then Melbourne played Brisbane. Let's go with we'll skip Sydney-Perth. That was the first game of the round, but that was the one I watched, so I'll talk about that in a second. Cairns-Illawarra. So essentially, Cairns lost this one, 84-95. Cairns are having a bad year. Coming into this game, they were, they'd won just the one game. They went down by 11 points early with about 8 minutes remaining in the second quarter, and they just never looked like they were coming back. This is a team that routinely goes down quite big early, and then they just either give up or don't really have it. When I actually see one of their games fully, I watch the highlights of this one, but when I see the whole thing, I'll be able to find out why. They seem to turn over a lot. They had 6 turnovers in the first quarter and a half, which in 10-minute quarters is a lot, and Illawarra just made use of it. I won't go into too much depth about that game. It was a bit of a whitewash. The next game was a really good one. Was Brisbane versus Melbourne. Brisbane won this one. They were real underdogs. They were $12 to win. Melbourne were $3 with Sportsbet. Melbourne, what's crazy is Melbourne went up big by 10 early on, 28-18 at the end of the second quarter. Casper Ware hit a big quarter-court shot to end one of the quarters, I forget. But then looking forward onto it, Brisbane was still down by double figures to start the fourth quarter. The thing that got them through this game is that Lamar Patterson, their import for Brisbane, had 33 points, shooting 78% from the field, 33 points, 11 of 14, 78%. What's crazy is, put up the 33 points, but only shot 2 3-pointers, made one. It was this classic 30-point game, that you see from, almost basketball of 20 years ago, getting to the foul line, hitting his shots in and around the paint. He just had a hell of a game and got on the win. Brisbane now go to 7-6 and Melbourne go to 9-5. Melbourne did not have a good round. They played again later on against Brisbane again. But we'll talk about that game in a second. But Brisbane 97, Melbourne 94. Brisbane held on behind a huge gap from the Lamar Patterson. Next game of the round was New Zealand Breakers versus the Sydney Kings. Before I give you the result, I'll just say that Jared Weeks had 7 points in the first quarter for New Zealand to set them up, and then Sydney went up by 10 points with 4.5 minutes remaining in the third quarter, and then New Zealand strung some plays together and came right back, and then with 50 seconds left, Bogut hits a jump shot from the foul line extended, and that was his first shot outside the paint all game, and that went down, and that put Sydney up 71-67 with under a minute left. And then Thomas Abercrombie for New Zealand hit a big shot, little pump fake, one dribble, three-pointer to bring New Zealand back within a point, 70-71. But unfortunately, that was it for New Zealand. They had a play to look at it. Now, I only watched the highlights. I don't know what Sydney did to turn that ball over, whether they turned it over or just missed a shot. You know, they were up 70-71. And then New Zealand had another look at it. And with the final play, Thomas Abercrombie gets a pretty good look off a down screen that really hangs up Newley. Brad Newley was very slow off the pick. And Abercrombie kind of had him on skates leading into the screen. And Newley really bit on it. And then Abercrombie made the catch, but just didn't quite give himself enough time. And he got off a decent little fade shot, but I don't think he even got it out of his hands on time. It was close, but I don't think he did. And so New Zealand lose to Sydney 70-71. Next game of the round was Adelaide versus Illawarra, and this one came down to a right down to the wire. Adelaide losing this one 86-87, 1 point victory to Illawarra. Adelaide again got big in the first quarter with about 6 minutes left. They were up 18-6, and then they didn't hang on to that one. And then Adelaide then just threw the ball away for the rest of the first quarter. Cameron Doyle hit a nice little three to send Adelaide back up by eight with 5.5 minutes remaining in quarter number two. And then Illawarra get back within one by the 4 minute mark of the third quarter. And then Adelaide push it back out to 11 with 1.5 minutes remaining in the third quarter. And then obviously I've only seen the highlights, so it kind of just cuts out there. And where we pick back up is Jordaire Jett, the import for Illawarra, has got at the top and he's dancing on Wiley and he drives to his right. No, sorry, he drives to his left, spins onto his right hand. Yeah, he runs into two 36s, one of them being DJ, Dennis Johnson, who gets a sort of a decent swat at it, but he's kind of like when Jordaire turns, Jordaire's gone straight at the hoop and Dennis Johnson's kind of jumping over his shoulder a bit. It's not the best contest in the world. And then Jordaire spins it in for the win. And he hits that as the buzzer sounds and he's waving off the crowd, saying goodnight to them. When I was watching the play, I thought Nathan Sobey for Adelaide, I hope I'm pronouncing his name right, was kind of in no man's land on D. You know, he was in the help position. Jordaire made that little spin going at the keyway, and then he didn't commit to, you know, rushing Jordaire, and he kind of got in the way of Dennis Johnson as a result. Wasn't the worst defensive play in the world, but certainly wasn't the best either. So that was too bad. Next game of the round was Perth versus Cairns. Perth win this one 94-72. So Cairns is, you know, horrible run to the season keeps going. They just can't win. They got Nathan Juai, who's probably their best player, and he got some decent low touches and scored, but they just they're looking immature. Anyway, I won't go into too much detail because there's not much to say really. Cairns give up 30 points to 17 in quarter number one. So again, they go down big in that first quarter, and against any team, let alone Perth, you're just not going to come back. And Bryce Cotton returned in this game from a hand injury and looked pretty good. His touch was quite nice. You know, he didn't seem to show any real effects of it. Didn't have a huge game, but it was a game where, you know, the ball was moving because Cairns weren't putting up a lot of a fight. Perth 94, Cairns 72, so a big 22-point win. Next game of the round was Melbourne versus Brisbane. They played twice this round. The first game was in Brisbane. This one was in Melbourne. In total opposite to the last game, Brisbane went up 6-0. Casper Ware hit the quarter-court shot in this one to end quarter one. So Brisbane go up 6, and then Casper Ware hits the quarter-court 3 to end the first quarter, and Melbourne are up 24-17. And then Kadi for Brisbane shot really well, 4 of 6 from the arc, as well as Patterson again. And others, and from what I could see, Casper Ware was the only starter for Melbourne in double figures, Goulding had a bad game. Goulding, 8 points, 3 of 10. Dave Barlow, 5 points, 2 of 9. He looked slow. They didn't get a good start, and they just went from there. There was one nice little play by Jeremy Kendall, the import for Brisbane, who's been coming off the bench, I think. He was coming down the left-hand side of the court and just froze up Dave Barlow with this little jab-step dribble and then pulled up for three and smacked it. For Brisbane, it was the opposite. Their starters, you know, most of them were in double figures and played really well. And Brisbane were 11 of 24, 44% from three, whereas Melbourne was 6 of 28, 21%. So that's kind of where Melbourne lost it. But also Josh Boone didn't have a big game. He's a big player for Melbourne. It just didn't happen. So that is those games. Now we go to the segment we call the eye test, where I talk about a game that I watched. This game, Sydney versus Perth, first game of the round. Sydney were 5-4 coming in, Perth 10-1. Perth are the number one team in the league, Sydney number three, not far off the pace of Melbourne for number two. Damian Martin was returning from injury, I believe, and Bryce Cotton was out with that hand injury. And I've just got my notes here, and I'm new to this kind of stuff, so this is just what I wrote down as I was watching it. I was like, Nick Kay for the Wildcats, he's one of the most awkward-looking effective players in the league. I mean, he kind of runs like Kelly Olynyk of the Boston Celtics. If you know him, he's got that sort of duck run. You know, the bottom half of his body is like his hips, and bottom is way past his spine. Tirico White, I've just got here, Tirico White question mark. I don't know really. I wanted to know what college he was from, but I didn't do the research. Perth Wildcats logo change. You know, I'm looking at Perth's logo, and I think they can do better. I think they'd be wise to do like a retro reboot of their old logo from the 90s with the Wildcat with the, you know, this very flamish kind of mane, the long flowing mane at the back. Brad Newley has had an up and down year. The commentators were saying. And the commentators on this one were Steve Carfino and Shane Heal and someone else. You know, Newley's been a little bit up and down, and you know, kind of how he goes is how Sydney goes. And he looked, I hate to sound rude, but he looked kind of old on the first take at the hoop. Like, he just looked like he wasn't getting a lot of elevation. He wasn't moving really quick, but still had a pretty good game in this one. I don't have the stats, but he did. A couple of really bad calls by the ref. I've just got here at the 7.5-minute mark of the first quarter, 7:54-minute mark of the first quarter. Really bad call on Bogut. I don't know what it was. I've forgotten now, but I think it was where, you know, Bogut's just like going at a rebound. I think what happened was Nick Kay got a rebound, and then Bogut kind of swatted at it, and it was a soft call to give him a foul. And the NBL refs, they kind of do this. They oscillate between being really soft and then really, really, really tough, you know. And for years, I've thought that Damian Martin gets away with a lot of contact, especially in the backcourt, which is where, if you're an NBL ref, you just shouldn't allow it. It just slows the game down terribly. And, you know, Damian Martin's always been allowed to use his body to turn guys so much. You know, as they sort of put the ball on the deck, he just throws his body at their hip all the time. He's been doing that for years. Not to discredit his game because he's a good player, but I just put here, Andrew Gaze has none of the poise of his father Lindsay. You know, Lindsay Gaze, I remember watching when he coached Melbourne, was so composed. He was always just sitting on the bench, just thinking, you know, hand on his chin. Gaze is absolutely everywhere. In fact, there was a time in the game where he was throwing his hands around, and Leonard Copeland, his assistant coach, had to tap him on the shoulder and tell him to watch himself. But yeah, Gaze is absolutely everywhere, and they mic'd him up for some of the interviews and in timeouts and stuff. He's very scattered in the timeouts. But what's funny is after most of the timeouts, Sydney actually came out and ran some pretty good plays, and they didn't get a lot of scores off it. But you know, they were getting nice little alley-oop plays right at the hoop and just not quite finishing. But that's normally the sign of a coach who's scattered in timeouts, that they that players come out after quarter time and timeouts and don't run good sets, but that wasn't the case. I don't know. Maybe Gaze is doing something that works. I just put here pick and roll of Sydney. Pick and roll defense of Sydney was not particularly good. They weren't like a sort of lack of communication. Sometimes they were going under, sometimes over, mostly under, and giving guys too much space to kind of then put the ball on the deck and either get by someone or, you know, make a dribble drive. At the 5 minute mark of the first quarter, Perth had a great play where they were really moving the ball around. It's not the best thing to communicate over a podcast, but they're a good team. Perth are very good, and they move the ball really well. It ended with a missed shot, but you know, it was a passage of play where the ball moved, you know, 10 to 15 times, couple of screens, couple of pin downs. It just looked nice. Bogut, I've got here. Bogut does so much for Sydney with defense, rebounds, and paint touches. I kind of keep thinking with Bogut, I'm like, do they want to kind of go a bit bigger, you know, play Randall off the ball or even on the bench, give him, just sort of trim his minutes a bit and kind of give the ball to Bogut to kind of initiate the offense a bit more. There's a couple of times where Bogut was coming down the floor and you look kind of clumsy with it, but I actually think that's a really good strategy for them to kind of let him create off the dribble and take those bigger guys and, you know, draw that bigger guy away from the hoop with a bit of dribble work and a bit of passing. But Bogut's timing on defense, coming over or help defense and blocking guys. He got a number of blocks in this game, 3 or 4, I suppose. But they were blocks that mattered. You know, they weren't like, you know, where guys grabbed a rebound and he kind of puts it back into them and they get it back and push it, put the shot up again. These were effective blocks that, you know, guys were coming at the hoop to score and Bogut would come out of nowhere and take it away. You know, he's so big, but his timing is great. His lateral quickness is really bad. Sorry, that's a bit rude. His lateral quickness is not what it was when he was first starting out. You know, his lateral movement, there was a time where he got knocked to the ground in this game and he took a long time to get back up because, you know, his body has seen a lot. But he's still, when he's got the chance to actually use his smarts instead of his body to make plays, he's pretty good. Moving on, I've got here Damian Martin is given a license by the officials to foul. Like, there are times where he will aggressively go at the ball. And if he doesn't come up with the steal, he just keeps plowing through players and officials just allow him to just hammer guys. And they always have. Kyle Adnam is a guy for Sydney. Young kid, blonde kid. Fearless. Came in off the bench straight away. Scored a couple of points when he came in. Hit a couple of shots. Decent drive game. He plays with decent poise, though. He's a guy they should probably look at to give more minutes to. He's pretty slight, and I didn't really see him get exposed on defense in this game, but he's pretty small. And, you know, coming up against guys like Tarico White, guys who are pretty big. Tarico White in this game, like, didn't do a whole lot of things. Like, he was very content to catch and shoot or take a few dribbles, pump fake and shoot it. Very rarely got to the basket or put guys on his back and put him in the post. I don't know if that's normal or not. I'm excited to watch more of him and see if that's his game or not. Randall kind of had a bad start in this game. A couple of turnovers, just not orchestrating the offense quite how you'd like. And Tarico White had a bad shooting start to the game. And Sydney were very lucky for that because he was getting decent looks and I didn't think Sydney were putting a lot of pressure on him to make him miss, but he was just missing them. And at the end of the first quarter, it was tied 20-20. We go into the second quarter. Sydney had a nice little stretch on the floor. And on the court, they had this lineup. Lish, Newley, Adnam, and then two guys who I only wrote down their number because I don't really know guys so well at this point. Give me 2 seconds, I'll just find out. Oh, they were number 22 and number 14. And those guys are... 2 seconds. But this lineup was a good little lineup. And they did well. My internet's terribly slow. I don't know who it was. So that was those guys. They started the quarter and did well. And then I've got bench backcourt for Perth was kind of weak in this game. They've got a shooter out there who's pretty good, but he does little else other than catch and shoot. And if his feet aren't set and he's come off a pick, he doesn't do much else. So he's good, but he didn't do so great. Bogut still can't shoot free throws. His elbow is still bad from when he broke it those years ago in Milwaukee. When Larry, I think it was Larry Sanders undercut him on a play. No, it was Amari Stoudemire, I think. Anyway, came under him as he was doing that dunk and he fell off the rim and broke his arm because free throws are a problem for Bogut. Julius Randle had a play in the second quarter at the hoop, basically a fast break layup, and Damian Martin contested. And Randle was just so eager to avoid contact that he missed it. And he's got to do better there. Sydney have got a problem where outside of Bogut, they just don't rebound. They really don't. So they got to work on something there because when he's not on the floor, I mean, Brad Newley missed a box out, I think, in the second quarter. And you could see Bogut chewing him out going into a timeout or a stoppage. They have to rebound. They gave up a lot of offensive rebounds to Perth. It probably doesn't look like as many in the box score, but it seemed a lot when you were watching it. I was about to say Shane Heal and Andrew Gaze may share a voice box because they sound identical. Shane Heal was calling this game, and I remember when Gaze used to commentate games, and they sound so alike. Perth and Sydney have got really tough schedules coming up. At one point in the telecast, the commentators mentioned that they've each got six games in 17 days. Perth should be okay with that, but Sydney are going to struggle because Sydney are a little bit older, and Bogut's their best player, and he needs time off. So we'll see how that goes. Again, I've got here written, very lucky that Tirico White shot poorly going into that first quarter, the first three quarters, because he was getting good looks. He just couldn't knock them down. I've got here Sydney rebounds, exclamation mark. I don't know what that's about. Brian Bowen is a guy I wanted to talk about for Sydney. So he came into this game, and he's a young kid, and he'll probably be a pretty good player, but he is not ready right now. He looked really, really slow in this game. He looked out of sorts. He looked out of his depth. He was looking thin. He was driving at inappropriate times and kind of getting a bit of contact from his defender, not even the help defender, and was kind of getting ricocheted off and throwing it at the hoop, and it didn't look good. And then to end the third quarter, it's Sydney 58 and the Perth 49. So Sydney put on a pretty good quarter there, mainly behind that group I was talking about. And I wish the NBL had more advanced stats to kind of see what plus minuses on lineups are, but it doesn't. What was funny is Randle and Bogut sat to start the fourth quarter, and they sat for a while as well. They sat for a couple of minutes, and they're only 10-minute quarters, so I thought they sat a little bit too long. Brian Bowen started the fourth quarter and played a little bit into it and just was making mistakes left and right and got dragged rather savagely by Gaze, and I felt Gaze was a little bit over the top. Brian Bowen is a decent player, but he is not ready for fourth quarters against Perth and in tight games. He shouldn't have been out there, and I felt to Gaze to expect something from him there was kind of unfair. Lish had a big fourth quarter. Like, he didn't put on a huge amount of points, but he was so poised, and there was a play where he had Damian Martin all over him in typical fashion. Martin's reaching into his pocket the whole time, and Lish kind of just, sort of shimmy dribbled, put a bit of contact, and Damian Martin fell straight in his ass in the keyway, and Lish just pulled up for a nice little jumper. That was about halfway through the fourth. And then Randle again put a little shimmy move on Damian Martin and hit a shot with 1:28 remaining in the quarter. Nick Kay was really good for Perth, but he did have a bad free throw miss and 3-point miss in the last 2 minutes, which is unfortunate for him. And then Perth in the last 30 seconds were really poor. They were down. They were down a little bit. I forget, you know, either 3 points, and they were just jacking up threes that weren't there. Like Jesse Wagstaff, Jesse Wagstaff and Tirico White had shots at the hoop late and just not good ones. They just threw it up there when they had options. They had time on the clock to kind of maybe look to go two and do a bit more. But the point is, like, the threes weren't there and they just kept throwing them at the hoop. And it's kind of like, well, you know, you may as well take a different option or see if there's something else. But, you know, they were very eager to get the ball in the hoop. Wagstaff, I think, threw up almost an air ball. And then towards the end of this game, we had the altercation between Bogut and Trevor Gleason, the coach of the Wildcats. So late in the game, there's a stoppage in play for the officials to do a review, I believe, and the Wildcats are crowded on the side of the court with their coach, and Bogut, in his typical kind of way, goes over and starts sticking his head in the huddle. And I was quite upset about Trevor Gleason seemed to kind of push him off, and Bogut just kind of like kept his forearm out, and then Gleason kind of like grabbed him and sort of threw his arm away. And he's been fined a couple of $100, Gleason, but I was like, I didn't care for that at all. Like, coaches, you know, you're second to the players, you know. Yeah, he's a good coach, but you can't touch players like that, especially not Andrew Bogut. Well, not especially not Andrew Bogut, but not anyone. I thought it was out of line, if I can be totally honest with you. I thought what Bogut was doing was just kind of funny and silly and a little bit cheeky. And Bogut, like, took it. If I was Bogut, I would have gone at Gleason, but he didn't. And good for him, because Sydney came away with the win, 77-72. And that was the round that was, round 8. We go into round 9, looking at the ladder. So Perth drop a game and they go to 11-2, they're top of the table. Then you've got Melbourne, who are 9-5, Sydney 7-4, Brisbane 7-6, Illawarra 6-7, Adelaide 5-8, New Zealand 4-8, and Cairns 1-10, having a horrible, horrible season. But you look there, I mean, with this round, Brisbane really asserted themselves as a team that can do something. But certainly Perth, Melbourne, Sydney, Brisbane, Illawarra, I think, are still not quite in it. And I'd hope that Brisbane stay where they are, because I think they're a decent team. And if Kadi and Patterson can, you know, shoot well, they're a chance against anyone. But, you know, obviously Perth is still the very best team. Commentators were saying they've had a pretty easy schedule thus far. A lot of home games, and, you know, Perth are very tough to beat over there. So, you know, they're still the team to beat, and Bryce Cotton is seriously good. I'm excited to watch him play this next round. He played against Cairns, but I only watched the highlights, and they seem to be sort of nursing him back. So going into round 9, the games actually start on Friday. Friday, which is what date? The 14th. The first game of the round is going to be the first game of the round is that Friday, Perth versus Sydney. That's at 9:50 Eastern Standard Time. That'll be really good. That's played over in Perth, and it'll be interesting to see if Sydney can travel and play well. You know, they did it here in Sydney without playing against Bryce Cotton. Let's see if they can do it over there. We go from Friday to Saturday. Brisbane play Adelaide. You know, it's Adelaide are they're just struggling. I don't know what's wrong with them. They're not getting a lot out of some of their guys. So it'd be interesting to see if Brisbane can continue the form from this round. So that's at 2:50 on Saturday. And then the big game of the round is Melbourne play Perth in Melbourne at 7:50 Eastern. That will be that'll be a good game. I would think Perth would win it. Hoping Josh Boone can come out and have a good game, and Casper Ware, and you know, but Chris Goulding, it'd be nice to see him come back and play play a bit better, because he did not play particularly well in the games against Brisbane. And that is it for the round and the eye test and everything we do as far as NBL news goes. Jeremy Kendall, the import for Brisbane, has been retained. There was talk of them getting another import or maybe moving on from him, but they're not doing that. He steadied that team, and he looked good. He's not a huge numbers guy. He only had 5 points in the win against Melbourne, but he's a solid player, a tough guy. So I was glad to see him do that. He's a guy who could help a number of teams, Adelaide in particular. So good to see him get that chance. Looking at it, that's all I've really got. Thanks for bearing with me. This is my first episode, so hopefully I can, you know, I'm hoping to get guests on this thing and talk to people about a whole bunch of stuff and see their thoughts on the NBL. As I said, definitely get the NBL app, you know. If you're sort of a guy who's, or girl, who's enjoyed the NBA in the past and just kind of either fallen into the NBA a bit more or whatever, you know, come back to the NBL. It's a lot of fun and really good schedule to follow. Thursday to Tuesday night, a couple of games on the weekend. It's really fun. And, you know, it's still the best professional basketball we have in this country, and it's worth supporting for sure. Just quickly, there's Twitter. The NBL Pocket Podcast, I have a Twitter account, at NBA Pocket Pod is the Twitter handle, so I'll be kind of peppering NBL players and teams and reporters for answers to questions. Next thing I was going to say was I've also got an email address if you want to send in a mailbag question. Obviously, we won't do that segment today because this is the first ever one. It'd be very strange if someone sent me an email to answer. But yeah, the mailbag. So the email is mblpocketpodcast@gmail.com. So you can send them through there and I'll answer any questions as best I can. What I'm hoping to do in the future is release these episodes on the Tuesday, so at the very end of the round, each Tuesday night, and do that. And then what I'm hoping to do in a couple of weeks, if this thing becomes even remotely popular, is get on some guests. Not so much for this round by round thing, but maybe like an NBL sort of flashback segment or current players, and just talk about, you know, the life of NBL and you know, their thoughts on the league and games and things like that. And even better would be to hear some reporters about you're covering games, because this is one thing I've noticed. I've always watched a lot of basketball, but when you're not trained to look for things in the game, you know, normally I'm watching to see highlights and people who play well, but when you're watching games to see why do teams win and why do they lose, and what they can do to get better, that's not just a simple answer of get a new import or trade someone like it is in the NBA. It can be a lot of fun. It can be very interesting to work out what you think might be a good strategy. Anyway, guys, that is everything. Like and subscribe and all that BS if you like the show. Refer it to people. That is everything. Thanks very much. This is the NBL Pocket Podcast. I'll see you at the end of next round. Bye.